This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 10, Part 1 on this episode. Turns out to be about 40 minutes long, so each of these is going to be about a 19-minute long segment, more like a regular chapter. But yeah, again, when I was writing this book, I don't know what I was thinking when I was writing this as far as the chapter breakups, but kind of the way it falls. At any rate, BC, our Vatican assassin, now Vatican ambassador, or at least acting ambassador, has finished up his peace conference. It's ended somewhat successfully with a joint statement of intent to at least think about working towards peace. So, with that in mind, BC is going to try to move things forward as we get into Chapter 10, Part 1 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on this episode. I've been giving away copies of the Vatican Ambassador ebook throughout this month of August, and I'm happy to say that almost all of the ones that I designated, all of the coupons that I allowed for, have been given away. There are just a couple left as I record this. So if you want a copy of the Vatican Ambassador ebook for free, just head to Smashwords and use the code RS59X. You have the chance to use it just a couple more times as we finish off the month of August. It actually expires on September 1st, 9/1, but it is also limited in number, and there's only a couple left available to use to redeem. And that is in the show notes, too. The link for that book and the coupon code is actually there on the book when you get there. I want to thank my patrons who help to keep the podcast going, and you can become a patron at Patreon, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio or mikeluoma.com and follow the link to Patreon. I have three different levels, $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, at which you can support this podcast and help me keep it going. And there are those who do, so again, thank you, if you're a patron, for being a supporter of Glow in the Dark Radio. Next, we'll get into Chapter 10, Part 1 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's part one of Chapter 10 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Two news items break as the peace conference ends. The first is an announcement from Earth, from Vatican City, as Pope Linus proclaims his extreme pleasure and regard for his ambassador, Father Bernard Campion. The Pope lauds his ability to broker the fragile peace in the war between the two long-feuding enemies. Pope Linus announces that Campion is hereby raised to the status of full ambassador to Lunar Prime for the Vatican and His Holiness the Pope. The second news item concerns Daniel McIntyre. Wentworth's people seem to have found what they needed. Video leaked from unknown sources to the media from McIntyre's office security cam shows repeated visits to McIntyre's office by a known UIN assassin, Nita Bendix, still at large and wanted for the death of his wife, Meredith McIntyre. The media have a field day speculating on the relationship between McIntyre and his wife's supposed killer. BC notes there's no mention of the Asian girl from McIntyre's past.
Maybe McIntyre made a deal with Wentworth to keep that from coming out. But if Wentworth is letting the rest of this play, I can't imagine McIntyre cooperated too much.
BC enjoys the reports, but not the attention that he's been getting as a result of being the peace conference's power broker. He's not used to being in the public eye. News organizations have already started trying to dig up dirt on BC. Some reports made mention of an apparently shady past, but most didn't go any deeper. Of course, the UTZ does sponsor most of the news.
Maybe Wentworth is holding them back, preventing them from going any deeper into my past. Something is. Appreciated, I guess. Enough scrutiny is enough. Used to be good at not being seen. This is so much the polar opposite. It's weird. At least McIntyre's news is distracting some of the media glare.
BC develops a grudging admiration for Wentworth as the news plays out over the course of the week.
Wentworth is good, I'll give him that. Damn, people eat that gossip stuff up. You don't have to work hard to make them believe it. They want to believe it, or at least hear about it. The world runs on rumors. Pretty good lesson in why never to cross Wentworth. Sorry, Fiza.
By week's end, the rumors about Daniel McIntyre, rumors of love and jealousy, and the death of Meredith McIntyre, are flying fast and furious, planted, BC has no doubt, by Wentworth's people. Horrible stories BC couldn't think up are circulating as if true. The video of Nita Bendix leaving McIntyre's office plays repeatedly on the news. BC tries to avoid the man himself. He doesn't want to run into McIntyre this week. No telling how he'll react. BC's efforts are successful for the most part, but on Thursday night as BC ducks out of McGrady's, McIntyre makes an entrance.
He looks horrible. Looks like he might already be drunk. And I'm not looking for a fight.
BC avoids any eye contact as he passes McIntyre in the crowd.
He doesn't see me. Good.
The news Friday morning confirms BC's instinct to flee. McIntyre had to be taken away from McGrady's by the LSC after starting a brawl with other patrons. On Friday afternoon, Daniel McIntyre tenders his official resignation as governor of Lunar Prime, citing personal health reasons.
Important lesson here. Gotta remember, when Wentworth wants you gone, you're gone.
BC's first appearance as full ambassador for the Vatican is at the swearing-in of the new governor of Lunar Prime, Amanda Erskine, the following Monday, October 20th. In contrast to the events staged by McIntyre, Erskine's swearing-in ceremony tries to be a low-key affair. The attempt is somewhat thwarted by the swarms of news media covering the event as part of the sordid McIntyre story. BC decides to take advantage of the media zoo. As the news media buzz around him asking questions, BC makes an announcement. Thank you all for joining us for this next great step in the future of Lunar Prime. I'd like to be the first to congratulate the new governor of Lunar Prime, Amanda Erskine. BC starts clapping, leading the group to join in his applause.
Seems like a nice person. Reasonable woman. I don't think she had any real ties to McIntyre. She was never on any of the OPO watch lists. Her record is clean. No sign of UIN collaboration.
Erskine catches his eye and nods at BC from across the reception hall, a simple acknowledgement of his congratulations.
She professes no apparent religious affiliation, though there's a note she paid some lip service to Buddhism. Never suspected of anything by the OPO, or there would be a bigger file. Seems they hardly knew she existed, just kept a file on her because she was in politics. Born here on the moon, native daughter. Edwards liked her, trusted her, so she could be okay. Of course, Edwards liked and trusted me, and look where that got him.
The media people around BC turn back from watching Erskine's response. Before they can start shouting questions at him again, BC raises his voice. Speaking of our next great steps into the future, I'd like to announce today a second peace conference to be held here on the moon in the coming months. This is the first word anyone has heard of it, BC says with a grin. But I believe we need to move now, while we have the momentum. They shout questions at him. Does Al Salid agree to this? He's just finding out, same as you are. I don't know, BC admits. Has Pope Linus directed you to... The Pope, I'm sure, will support any efforts we make towards peace, BC assures them. Isn't it risky just announcing a conference like this? What if no one agrees to come? Then everyone else will know they're the problem, BC points out. By announcing it now, everyone finds out at once. No one can complain that they heard about the conference before or after anyone else. I thought it was a good place to start. And anyone who backs out will have to explain to the rest of us and the public why. Does the UTZ intend to come back to the table ready to deal? I sure hope so. That's all for now, everyone. Thank you, BC says. He looks over at Governor Erskine and shrugs. The news media continue firing away with questions. BC ignores them and walks over to Erskine. He can't get too close. They're both surrounded by reporters. Let's talk later, BC tries to yell to Erskine over the din of reporters' questions. She nods. BC leaves his press entourage behind and ducks out of the auditorium. He heads back to the safety and quiet of the Vatican mission.
Ha! There, just like that. How about another peace conference? Let him chew on that for a while. Not the smartest, most diplomatic way to propose another conference, but I'm hoping it makes it inescapable. Gotta keep the momentum going.
Governor Amanda Erskine calls on the comm soon after BC settles in at his office.
That was some stunt, she says. She doesn't sound happy.
Thank you, BC says.
It wasn't a compliment, she snaps. Don't take it as one. I don't like to be surprised like that, and it was kind of rude of you to upstage my inauguration.
I didn't think it would offend you to have your swearing-in and a peace conference linked together in the public's mind, BC tells her.
Fine, she says. Okay, but it made me mad, Ambassador, she says, finally using his title.
Ha, Ambassador. That sounds good.
I wasn't intending to slight you, Governor, BC explains.
I don't think I upstaged you either, ma'am, but if you feel that I did... I certainly want to apologize. That was not my intent. I merely hoped to use the very public opportunity given me by the media to move the peace process along.
Ha, huh, Erskine says. Was that really an apology?
BC starts to protest, but she cuts him off.
Look, BC, I know you're a powerful man, but I'm a powerful woman. I play fair, though. All I want to do is make sure you play fair, too.
Is it playing fair if I make you the first person I ask to confirm that you'll join in the conference and, of course, agree to allow us to hold it here on Lunar Prime? BC says.
So now you ask, Erskine says, some anger in her tone. What if I don't give you an answer?
Oh, man. Hope I haven't burned this bridge already.
That's fine, BC tells her. Certainly your prerogative. I would ask you to please let me know your answer soon, though. Only because if you don't agree to join in, I'll need to find a new location for the conference.
That would make me look good, wouldn't it? Erskine says sarcastically. The new governor of Lunar Prime, and one of my first acts is turning my back on a peace conference?
She pauses. BC doesn't say a word. She laughs a humorless, ironic laugh.
You bastard, she says. You've squeezed me into a corner on my first day on the job.
Sorry you see it that way, BC tells her. But I'm hoping everyone feels the same pressure to join in. It's a great cause. I'm in, Erskine says, surprising BC with the abrupt announcement. But only so I don't have to speak to you for a while, Ambassador. I'm not impressed by the recklessness of this whole thing, and I'm not impressed by you. Please, keep your distance for a while. Contact my office with any scheduling needs. Good day.
She signs off.
Well, I've certainly honked her off. Hope my announcement is received better elsewhere.
It is. Both sides are surprised, but also feel forced by the publicity to work with BC. No one backs out. BC's strategy may have been reckless, but it seems to be effective. He manages to set up the follow-up conference for mid-February. With plans set and preparations in the works, BC takes some time off from the diplomacy around Christmas.
If I've learned anything, it's that Christmas holds too many memories. Old ones for the Muslims, now new ones for the rest of us. This time of year used to be a happy time, a time for gift-giving and loving your fellow man and all that. Now it reminds us of how cruel we can be to each other. Not a good time of year for diplomacy, at any rate.
BC turns to the Vatican mission and his more traditional duties over his Christmas break. The NCC congregation on the moon has actually grown in the last year. The staff has grown as well. Jim Fitzgerald has finally begun studying for ordination to the priesthood. Father Dacombe has stayed on with the Vatican mission, even after BC's return from the Vatican. He's taken over most of the day-to-day masses and sacraments.
And he's no doubt filing daily reports with Pope Linus, too. No matter, I've got nothing to hide. Report away on the glorious goings-on of the ambassador for the Vatican.
With all the masses and rituals surrounding the celebration of Advent and Christmas that Father Dacombe has scheduled, BC doesn't have many chances to worry about the upcoming peace conference. He doesn't really need to. The schedule for the conference itself is already firmed up and agreed upon. Commitments are in place, with final confirmation to come in January. Travel plans are being finalized. It's on, definitely happening. And so BC can relax and actually pretend to be a priest. He says Mass the Sunday before Christmas and meets with the congregation at the back of the chapel afterward to mingle and make small talk.
It's funny. I still feel like I'm fooling everyone. I'm no priest. Just play one in real life. But if I'm not a priest and I'm not really an assassin anymore, what am I? Who am I? The ambassador for the Vatican? I guess. That's real enough. I'm making peace. Me. Who knew I could be a diplomat? Even though I'm not always diplomatic.
After Christmas, BC tries to contact Governor Erskine to go over some of the details of the upcoming conference. Erskine continued to be angry with BC for the stunt that set the peace conference wheels in motion, putting him off, claiming to be unable to meet one-on-one with BC in either November or December before Christmas. No time. But she does respond to his latest effort. Erskine sends BC a communique expressing her concern with the security and travel ramifications involved with the conference, and suggests they meet in early January. BC gets himself on Governor Erskine's calendar for the first Monday in January. Her schedule remains nearly full, but BC convinces her to join him for a dinner meeting.
At least she'll finally meet with me. Been thinking about it, though. Probably doesn't hurt her image to keep her distance from me. Maybe she learned from Edward's mistakes. Well, at least she's finally agreed to see me. Happy New Year? Let's hope 2111 is a good year.
As Christmas week activities begin to die down, the last major NCC-related function BC must attend is Wednesday night's New Year's Eve Mass. The ceremonies aren't anywhere near as involved as the Christmas Day rituals, but there is a sizable crowd, and Father Descombe has all three of them on the altar to celebrate the Mass. BC begins to feel nauseous about midway into the liturgy. He struggles to get through the rest of the Mass as a headache begins pounding behind his eyes.
Damn, I haven't had a headache in months. Thought they were gone. Ugh.
As the congregation launches en masse into the profession of faith, their droning voices reciting the rote text join forces with BC's headache to split his head clean open.
I just want to yell, "Shut up! Stop talking into my brain! It's full already! It's gonna explode!"
He rubs the bridge of his nose, trying not to look as bad as he feels. Despite BC's attempts, Descombe notices BC's condition from the side of the altar. He approaches BC as the profession draws to its close.
"Father BC, are you all right?" Descombe asks in a loud whisper.
No, I feel like I've got a bug coming on all of a sudden," BC tells him.
"I can take over here if you'd like," he whispers.
That would probably be good," BC says. BC shakes Descombe's hand and then makes his way off the altar. Descombe steps up to finish the Mass for BC. BC gets out of his vestments in the chapel sacristy. He half walks, half lurches back to his rooms.
"Fucking headache. Damn. Hope nobody sees me like this. They'll think I'm drunk or worse. I can hear it now. Little early to be celebrating the New Year, isn't it, Father?"
BC finally makes it into his rooms. Once inside the safety and comfort of his place, he does the only thing he can. He lies down and tries to sleep the headache away. As all around him the population of Lunar Prime celebrates the arrival of 2111, BC greets the new year literally lying down, debilitated by his latest monster headache. BC doesn't miss the party entirely. Relieved, he wakes up headache-free the next morning, the first day of the new year. Luckily for BC, the New Year's celebration goes on for the next 3 days, right through the weekend. BC joins in some of the fun, but by Sunday afternoon, he's had enough. He retires to his office and rooms and begins to plan his week ahead, and for his meeting Monday night with Governor Erskine.
"Might as well hit the ground running. Feels like the new year really starts tomorrow."
The new year also marks the beginning of the official easing of travel restrictions as negotiated in the October Peace Conference. Some tentative commercial activity is scheduled to start as well. Trade between the UIN and UTZ, on semi-official levels, mostly. The visitation clause is in place, but the logistics of making it work aren't. The UTZ Council appears to be the culprit, dragging its collective feet. BC knows the visitation rights will come up again in the February conference if they aren't worked out sooner. His first priority Monday morning is to try to get the UTZ moving.
"Still a lot of work that needs to be done just to get this thing started. I'm afraid both sides will accuse the other of dragging feet if we stay stalled, and maybe rightfully so. Don't want to spend the next peace conference all mired down discussing the last peace conference. Maybe Governor Erskine can help. Might be a way to engage her. Have to see how it goes tonight. Interesting. A one-on-one business dinner. Very civilized. We'll see what she's all about."
That was Vatican Ambassador Chapter 10, Part 1, on glow-in-the-dark radio. Let's see what she's all about. Well, Daniel McIntyre is definitely done. Amanda Erskine is now the governor of Lunar Prime, though BC did not get off to a great start with her. So, he's going to try to make that up. Although, BC is officially now the Vatican ambassador, which is nice. He's also getting some killer headaches, which is not nice. We'll see what happens with those as time goes on. Again, thank you to patrons for supporting Glow in the Dark Radio. And if you want to become one, head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Get all the details. And there are a couple more opportunities for you to get the Vatican Ambassador ebook for free at Smashwords. You got to act before September 1st. This is done 9/1. But there's a coupon code, RS59X, which will get you the Vatican Ambassador ebook for free at Smashwords. Just follow the link in the show notes or go to Smashwords and look up Vatican Ambassador. And when you get to the page, if there's still any coupons left, it will be there. The code will be there for you to use. And that is all for this time around. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.